You ready?
Sure.
Take it. There we go.
There's the man.
Yes.
So I'm currently having some technical difficulties.
You always do.
You? That's outrageous.
Well,
what
I know.
You just said.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to hear that. But your horn's not working?
I'm in the midst of dealing with my technical issues.
Yeah. Okay. So what does that mean? I can hear you. I'm recording you. What's the problem?
The problem is my third computer. Oh, you're recording? Yeah. I thought I was recording. I just spent a bunch of time getting shit ready. Jackass.
Hey, wait a minute now. I'm the guy who went out and spent, you know, a huge wad of money, American dollars, so that I could record and have this going, so that I could keep Gappage alive. And now you complain?
You told me.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Okay.
You told me on Twitter that I was supposed to record it. So I got my work laptop out,
okay,
and I went and installed Audacity,
okay,
made sure
anyway.
I had a new account, and that won't work anyway, so I'm glad.
So we've got a fail-safe system, right? You're recording, I'm recording.
No, I'm not. I'm not recording. That's
right.
What I'm saying. The system failed us.
Yeah. Well, your system failed you. Okay. I've got it all set up. I spent a lot of time, great deal of money, trials, lots of things, just so we can have a decent episode. And here is you complaining right off the bat. Which is related to our first topic, microaggressions. But before we get to that, this is Gappage number, do you know?
Is it 40 yet?
It's 42.
Oh, good. Hey.
You never listened to 41, I guess.
I don't pay attention to the numbers.
Well, to the episodes, you know, never mind the numbers. Do you actually listen back? No?
Not always. No.
Well,
I mean, I listen back to the show hole, but I don't always listen back to these. That's not true. No, I listen back to everything I'm on.
No, I'm just going to file that away. You listen back to the show hole, but you wouldn't bother to listen back to a Gappage. It's just one more slight.
I have to hear your opinions twice, you know?
All right. Should we carry on anyway?
Yeah, we should carry on. We're on to microaggressions, which is the last of our words.
We were slighted, by the way. I tried to give somebody, the Gappage Twitter account, tried to give a little bit of advice to that guy in Tennessee, and he said he wouldn't take advice from somebody who can't put out 40 shows in a 10-year period. Like, what the hell would we know? That was pretty offensive, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you know
who
I'm talking
this show, about. I do know who you're talking about, and this show is used to getting disrespected by the other.
I know, and I was sort of
podcasters.
We could change that. I was hoping that we could get off to a fresh start and actually get a little bit of respect. I was in doing little work in the background here with Google and trying to get stats and so on, and it looked like there was like 950 subscribers to the Gappage podcast versus 6 to Dixon Jane's. So something's odd. Something's very odd.
Other than maybe no one listens to Dixon Jane's, have you considered that? What if Gappage has surpassed Dixon Jane's?
Well, it's clear that it has.
And like, and everyone's just lying to you that they listen to your show.
Well, no, I could count the 6. I know who they are. So that's not really a problem for me. I'm just surprised that Gappage would have so many, considering there are gaps between episodes. But anyway, this is not one of them. This is an actual show following hot on the heels of the last one. And as a favor to our listeners, we are actually redoing a segment that we had recorded, and the sound quality was so bad that we're going to take it up again. And the topic was microaggressions. Do you want to describe that before I read the card again?
Well, I mean, my understanding, we're assuming that, you know, I know what it is. I mean, it's they're like snubs or an insult or a slight. Mm-hmm. Like you just sort of talk down to something or invade someone's space or whatever. It seems it's the unconscious things that we do to different groups of people, mostly unintentionally,
yeah,
that make them feel less than.
That's pretty good. I'll read it out. And again, these are from Centennial College, you know, to inform their students. Microaggressions. These are everyday verbal or behavioral interactions that send negative, harmful messages and insults towards minoritized people. So that might be old people like me, right?
Yep.
Even though these interactions are called microaggressions, for people who experience them every day, they have a big impact. Okay. Do you ever feel you've had any directed against you?
Possibly. I've probably been microaggressed as a disabled person, but it doesn't bother me. Often someone so-called microaggressing against me is either ignorant or, you don't need to take everything seriously.
You're past that, right?
I'm past that, but you know, I'm a privileged white guy, so, you know, I can't. It's one of those things where it's like, well, it doesn't really affect me. It's probably happened to me, but I don't care. But I can see how it upsets other people.
Right.
That have to deal with it more.
Well, I flip the card over, and it says, here's what it looks like. And it gives examples. You speak English so well, right?
Right.
That smells. How can you eat that? I need a better acting voice for this. Like, what would somebody actually say? God, that stinks. How the fuck can you eat that shit? Like that.
That'll do it. Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's a little bit more accurate. Thank you for, you know, putting some oomph into it.
Well, because that's what should be. Same for the speak English. Oh my God, you really speak English? Fuck.
No, you don't. That's not how it's like. You speak English so well.
Okay.
It's a condescension. An unintentional, right, like, most of the time, condescension.
Nobody would expect that of somebody who looks like you, right?
Right.
Okay. Now this one, I'll read the straight way and you can act it out. Maybe you can do better at this. Wow, you're so exotic looking. What are you?
Wow, you're so exotic looking. What are you?
not very good. But you tried. You tried.
All right.
Like, how would you do that? I think you have to change the wording a little. Holy shit. What are you?
Yeah. Where are you from?
Yeah. All right. Next one. No. Where are you really from? No. Where are you really from?
Right. Well, if someone looks like they're from somewhere else and then you don't believe them when they say, oh, Canada.
Yeah. Or Brampton, you know?
Yeah.
All right. You sound so white. Now, I've caught myself thinking that. I don't say it out loud. But when I hear Ian Hanneman sing, for example, and I hear the announcers so carefully chosen on CTV and CBC, and I'm always impressed because clearly now on Cable 24, everything else, there's a lot of visible minorities. It's not just the old white guy reading the news anymore.
Right.
But I'm always impressed at how amazingly good their English is. I don't think that's a microaggression. They're hired because they have good English that everybody in Canada is going to understand.
Yeah, but do you only think that about not white people?
Well, that's a good point.
Because then it might be.
I don't think it is. I think I'm very aware of how well somebody delivers a message.
You know? Okay.
So, but it's true. I mean, maybe I probably have enough conditioning over the years of seeing people, a visible minority, and not expecting perfect English. Or a British accent, for example, you know? All right, let's move on.
Okay.
We haven't offended anybody yet. I really wonder if my job on this show is to deliberately annoy somebody. And
you can deliberately annoy me, but the point of the show is to express your honest opinions for us to have a serious discussion about
something. Thank you, and I appreciate that reminder. All right. You're so different from other people of your race.
Right.
I don't know if anybody would actually say that, you know?
Well,
again, the word...
Yeah, but you would say, you're one of the good ones or something terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Or, holy shit, you don't even like an Indian.
Yeah.
All right. Don't you feel hot with that thing on your head?
Yeah, don't say that. I mean, I don't even know how that would be said.
No,
I don't want to act that one out because I really don't even know. I don't know any people that are like that.
Somebody might say, "Isn't that uncomfortable?" Like, holy shit! Yeah. I wear that all the time. Do you wear that when you get home? Do you take it off or what? You know?
Yeah, that's true. Okay,
all right.
So you know how to do it. I knew you would.
Three ways you can stop microaggressions. Before I get to those three ways, I want to come up with. I was aware of one the other day that just happened. I thought, oh, there's one in real life. And I was at the college, and one of the students asked a security guy a question. Where is the building? And I don't think he heard him the first time. And the way the guy answered the second time was really in-your-face microaggression. Like, louder, slowed down the words. And hey, everybody at that college speaks English, some better than others, of course. But the way it was delivered by the security guard, like, you know, it's over there, that kind of thing.
Oh, like really, really enunciating the...
Yeah, and that was a perfect example, you know. And, of course, at the college, I mean, I should have handed these guys one of the cards. Hey.
Yeah, I mean... How,
you don't have to speak loud to them.
Right, you don't think... That's a pretty bad security guard, I think.
Yeah, I thought so. But, hey, they're college kids themselves. All right, three ways you can stop microaggressions. Educate yourself. Learn about microaggressions and take notice of how they come up day to day. You see, I did that. Find out more about prejudice and discrimination in all its forms. Okay. Number two, reflect.
They're claiming their website covers all of the forms of racism, and that seems like a bold claim.
They didn't say that. They said educate yourself.
It said all.
Learn about microaggressions and take notice of how they come up day to day. Find out more about prejudice and discrimination in all its forms.
In all its forms. I mean, that's...
Well, educate yourself.
That's a bold claim. I'm saying forms that they're not covering.
Well, they're not saying they do it. They're just saying it's up to you to educate yourself. They're not saying they have the answers.
Okay. All right.
Educate yourself, right? It's up to to find out more.
Okay. Oh, well, see, that seems like they're passing the buck.
Yeah. Reflect. Think about your own prejudice and stereotypes and find ways to change those attitudes that can contribute to microaggressions. Well, I am guilty on that point and I need more reflection. But sometimes the more I reflect, the more I feel full of microaggressions that I want to get out of me. And number three, act. Be an ally to your colleagues and classmates. Step in and speak up. When you hear a microaggression, simply ask, what do you mean by that? Okay. Well, I think we did better the first time around. That wasn't too exciting, was it?
Well, it's fine. We'd already covered it. I don't know. It was fine. It had some moments.
Yeah. Is it important? Microaggressions. I think it probably is.
Yeah. It's worth being aware of them.
All right.
But it's, I don't know, I think it's one of those things that sometimes goes too far.
Well, that's where I want to get to, of how things have got too far. And I think one of the topics, of course, is the Me Too movement, which is a dicey one, a juicy one. The other story I mentioned, I thought it might be interesting to do things local, because podcasters come from all over, but you and I are Toronto-based. We know the local stories here. And there are two of note that are very current, and one was the police finally catching a serial killer in the gay village. Like, whoa, this is huge.
Right.
Two men who had gone missing, and now the police have come out and said, we believe there are more victims. And they've got the picture, they've got the guy arrested. I mean, I think they did a good job in catching this guy. Too late for the people he's already killed, but this is...
Well, I don't know. I hear like this may be some kind of scandal for the Toronto police because they maybe weren't taking it.
Yeah, but... Okay.
Because there's been... I remember reading stories, you know, months ago that said, hey... Like, I'd see it on the Toronto Reddit and stuff about, you know, be careful around Church and Wellesley because there's gay people going missing, so...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the police, we expect them to right away come in there and get them. I bet you they were looking into all of this. The fact that they caught the guy without any bodies, I think is amazing. And I think no matter what, people are going to take sides and say, oh, the police, you know, they didn't do it fast enough and they didn't listen to us. Well, they did. And they've taken a serial killer off the streets and made it a much safer city for the gay community. And that's kind of... It's related to those other things. Right? Right away, people want to pick sides. And immediately, you've got to be against the police. You've got to be against Tim Hortons franchise owners. You've got to be against anybody who didn't wear black to the last awards ceremony. You know, people telling people how you have to react and how you have to think without having a whole lot of information. Like, that's not healthy.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So... I don't know. We're all. I guess I'm weak to it at times. I was gonna say we're all weak to it, but
weak.
That might just be me. Yeah.
What's that?
To falling into, you know, what the common consensus about the news is, and it's good to reflect.
Yeah.
Carefully.
This is recent news, and I'm not going to go on more about it because more details will come out and so on. He was referred to as a silver daddy. Which is kind of scary. And the other thing, he played Santa Claus at shopping malls. And
you're like, oh, I did see that. That's fucked up.
That's fucked up. You know. And they interviewed a couple of people from the gay village, and they're saying, you know, for single people like us, it got really scary going into the bars, and you just weren't quite sure who you're dealing with when you find two friends have gone missing. It must have been a tough time. But then I think, okay... But that's true for anybody. That's true for any woman who goes into a bar and meets a man. That's true of anybody. It's not just gay people who are persecuted or,
I know, but
face at, victimization.
Right, but because it's happening at that time, that's probably why people were mentioning it.
What I'm saying is that's a special interest group getting a lot of attention. In fact, that happens every single day, the women being abused and... beaten up or gone missing and so on.
But why you don't think some of these things are news?
Well, they all are news. No, I'm just saying that no one group gets the right to claim all the discrimination, all the pain, all the suffering, all the neglect.
Right, but I don't think there are...
Across the board.
Right, but I don't think there are reasonable people suggesting that. Sure, there's crazy people everywhere, but...
No, I'm just saying that minority groups, for whatever reason... get to have the first say and get to make it loud and clear. Here's a perfect example. It's a nice lead into our next story about the girl, the 11-year-old girl who claimed got to school and claimed a man had been following her and cut her hijab with a pair of scissors.
Right.
Shall I go on with the story?
Yeah, go on with this story because I'm sure... based on that last story, your opinion there I don't agree with, how you wrap that up. And so I'm interested to see what your dumb idea about this story is. So carry on, and then I can tell you how you're wrong.
I'll let you have that one.
Okay. So
here's a girl who, she gets to school, she's in tears, and said somebody followed, and right away, whoa, this makes the news, the police are outside, and then she says the same man...
You didn't finish the story.
I'm still going on with the story.
I see. Okay, carry on.
She said the same man attacked her twice, and described what he looked like and the scissors that he had, the color, they had a blue handle and so on. And within half an hour, the police are at the school, counselors are called up, the parents are brought in, the mother and a daughter and a TV crew are at the school, and they record the 11-year-old girl telling this story to all of Canada, and this story spread around the world, that she was chased by a man who tried to cut off her hijab. And the officials came on from the school board, "We won't have this. This is not Canada. This is not the way we do things. This is outrageous, that poor girl," and so on and so on. And then within a couple of days, turns out there was no man. Nothing about the story was true. They had video footage. There was nobody there. The girl admitted that, no, she had made it up. And the parents had to go on and apologize to Canada as a whole, because this stirred up an awful lot of all you people who hate Muslims rhetoric. And it was a very, very touchy thing. Now, I just personally, I find this the most interesting story. And not even about being Muslim or the hijab or anything, but just the story of an 11-year-old child who would tell a lie and get into really big trouble over it because the news was carried so wide and far.
Because
with a lot
news
of
is...
implications.
Yeah, well, because news spreads fast. I mean, I'm not... It seems like a lot of people are just pissed off at the family.
No, I don't think so.
Really? Because that's what the internet's
no.
been telling me.
No.
I'm not pissed off at the family. Lied about a thing.
Yeah.
And then it kind of got super out of hand.
Okay, this is a good example. Because I had never thought for a moment. I have great sympathy for the family.
Oh, no. There's been people all over the internet going
that.
On and on
I
about
that. Which just reinforces, yes, there are people who are prejudiced. A lot of people say, hey, she should be in trouble. And you want to know that, okay, what percentage of those people are Islamophobes or anti-Muslims, and
right.
that's why they're really angry, and that's the real source of their anger. Or how many just think, whoever you are, you brought your child up to lie, and you got a lot of people in trouble, and so on. And I think there's a lot of poison in that story. I feel sorry for the family. I feel sorry for the girl. I still want to know really what was her motive behind this. Like, was it that she didn't want to wear the hijab anymore and was sort of looking because other kids maybe teased her and wanted an excuse not to have to wear it? We don't know, and nobody's going to do. There is one big villain in the story.
Which is?
I'm waiting for you to give the answer. Like, who is at most responsible for this spreading around the world?
Who is most responsible for it? Are we going to say because Justin Trudeau said something?
No.
Because people are really upset about that.
No.
Is it the news media? Is that where you're going here?
No, I don't blame the news media. This is a big story.
Donald Trump?
Well, now you're way off. The Toronto.
See, I don't know. I don't know what...
The Toronto District School Board... For
oh,
allowing
okay.
cameras into the school to interview an 11-year-old girl on camera when anybody who's involved in the charge, you always hide the identity of the person. For putting her on television with their permission and the police close by and interviewing her and the girl's mother and the girl's grandmother. That was disgusting. Somebody there should be fired. Like, that was totally mishandled. And that's how the story spread so wide. It wouldn't have been a big deal. Otherwise, the school board, because of these fucking politically correct people, think, oh, we can't have this, somebody attacking that poor little Muslim girl in the hijab. We're going to show you. We're going to put this all over the news and show there's a lot of bad Canadians out there. That's what pisses me off the most. It infuriates me. And they're just backtracked. Oh, well, you know, they never should have allowed that.
Yeah, that does, when I think about this story, that is probably the thing that galls me the most about it, too.
Well, now that it's been pointed out to you.
Now, no, because I've thought about it before, but I'm not as sensitive to, you know, teachers as you are, being a teacher.
All right. I've got a page open here. The attack on Gerwig and Jab didn't happen, police say, but why did the TDSB let the tearful 11-year-old girl face the cameras? The TDSB asked the girl's family if they wanted to join her when she spoke to the media, a spokesman said. It was completely their decision. And they will never pay for that. They will never take accountability, responsibility, or anything else. But that's stemming from political correctness. You may think that's a stretch, but I'm saying no. That's why they allowed this, because they wanted that message to go out really loud and clear. Oh, that poor young girl.
I don't know if that technically counts as political correctness. To say
it's in that bulb. It's in that range of things. It's that type of thing.
No, not that.
Okay, if it was any other kid who talked about bullying or was teased, would they allow cameras to come into the school and let that kid say, "Hey, four black guys beat me up and took my lunch money"? No way.
No, of course not.
Because she was Muslim.
You're jumping to a conclusion, though, blaming it on political correctness.
No, it's not. That's the people who, these are the weasels who've made their way to the top of the district school, Toronto District School Board. Right?
I don't know, but I'd like to be politically correct. I'm not saying that.
You want there's to be nothing, politically correct? That's a good thing?
There's nothing wrong with being politically correct.
Hmm. Oh, I guess
it can get too far. I will grant you, but you know, that's not about political correctness. I think that's about putting on.
It's the driving force. I'm saying the motivation of the people who encouraged and brought this whole thing and brought in the cameras and got this message out there was their motives were shaped by their own biases. Even if the attack had happened, the appearance would have been unusual, as victims of crime under the age of 18 are traditionally not identified by police or the media, let alone put before the cameras.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just upset about that. So now the family...
Someone at the school board needs to hang for it, but to blame it on political correctness is wrong. That's what I disagree with, yeah.
Well, I guess maybe I'm interpreting political correctness in a different way. I guess I'm talking about when I went to university, free speech was the call of the day. And people talked about anything, said anything, jumped up on soapboxes. And now it seems you need permission for guest speakers. You need permission to put up posters. You need, there's a censorship on all kinds of other issues. I call that in the general area of political correctness. It's just basically somebody saving their ass in case something they say or do might be perceived as racist, prejudiced, unfair, biased, or whatever. So you go out of your way to prove that you're not. It's like the teacher at the college. A supervisor, one of the people. When I asked one time, just as she was passing, if I'd be very interested in teaching a course called Global Citizenship. And I thought, boy, I really know what's in this course. And it's because I lived in Nigeria. I've seen the struggles of the third world. I've seen children fetching water from mud holes. And I was aware of the causes. And I studied a lot before we went to Nigeria. We were really filled in on left-wing politics and so on. Lived in the other end of the spectrum in Japan with the lap of luxury because of law and order and the way the Japanese do things. I felt I had a lot of experience. I've been down and out. I've been without money, even though I'm a white, middle-class, privileged male. I've experienced a lot of things. And this woman dismissed me outright, simply by looking at me. And I knew the face. I was not the right color. I was not the right age. I was not even the right sex. Bam. Sorry.
This is a special course. That's shitty. That's an example.
Well, okay, but that's an example that obviously irks me no end, but I think that's the kind of thing. I don't know. If you're going to do this, it's much better if we have brown people, lesbians, this group, that group, teaching the course rather than another middle-class white male.
I guess. But
and I think the issue, it's really, I'll be finished in a second, but the issue that's related to And I came across it when I was when I went and traveled with the students to Costa Rica. Is that people talk about diversity, but they only measure diversity in terms of the outward color of your skin, sexual orientation, things that people can actually label and attach. That's what diversity is about. And that is the biggest amount of shit, because I find there are so many people who I am not even remotely similar to, even though we might be middle-class, white, WASP Canadians, but with a completely different mindset, but it doesn't count, because outwardly you look the same. There's no diversity. And that infuriates me. And that's why I push this case about my kids. Okay, gee, they've got just enough. If you look hard, you can see, oh, they're not Caucasian. They've got Asian eyes. Well, gee, that should entitle them to an edge, a job advantage over somebody. You know, what is the percentage of visible minority you need to actually fill that slot, to make the quota? All right, I'm done. I feel better, but I'm angry. I'm really angry at this shit.
Okay, well, you make some good, as always, Ken. You come in with good examples that I did not consider.
Thank you. I'm so much older than you.
Yeah, but that wasn't really my point. But yes.
Well, it means with age comes experience.
I was just going to say you're a thoughtful person, Ken, but however you want to interpret it. It would be politically incorrect of me to make such an ageist joke.
Yeah. No, that's even better, thoughtful person. I like that. I was delighted when we went out to the bar the other night and I got respect from Connie Crosby. Connie is somebody I respect a great deal. And for her actually to say, gee, no, I enjoy listening and talking with you, Ken, I felt, wow. That's why I didn't sit with all the other assholes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we sort of made our own club there.
Right.
All the old podcasters, which you got offended at, because I was referring to how long we've been podcasting, not the fact that, you know, because then that's just a group of one.
It was fake offense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of other backstories to this issue about the girl, and people right away, well, don't, just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it couldn't happen, kind of thing. And that's also the fill, you know, well, don't let that go because, you know what, it could easily happen to anybody.
Was it later that day or a couple days later? There was some local story I remember hearing where someone had, like, on a TTC or something like that, had pulled off someone's hijab.
Well, like, that happens fairly regularly. I mean, this stuff,
right, but it came out, and then it, on the internet, people were like, I don't know, that one girl lied. I'm like, oh, no, it's already happening.
Yeah. That's not so good. I'm reading the police reports here. Assault, Pauline Johnson Public School. Police notice. We have found two victims. Another person attacked. Suspect is Asian, 20s, medium build, 5'8 to 6 feet, black hair, mustache, glasses, black hoodie, black pants. Officer searching. That was at 10:52 a.m. And then the next one at 11:03. Correction. There was only one victim. She was attacked twice by the same man in 10 minutes. And, of course, there'd be a further correction. Correction. There was no man. There was no attack. You know? But John Tory said, we must all remain vigilant in the fight against hate, racism, bigotry, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia to make sure our city remains an inclusive place. Now, you can't argue with that, you know.
You can't argue with that. And for the foreigners listening, John Tory is the mayor of Toronto.
Yeah. And somebody who failed, a man I hated, because he ran for the Conservative Party leadership to run the province of Ontario, and his campaign was to fund religious-based schools. And there was a huge fallout from that, because one of the biggest problems we have is children from religious families, especially fanatical religious families, not integrating into Canadian culture. And so it would mean taking money out of the public system, which is bad enough, and making those funds available for whether they were Jews or Muslims or whatever.
Right, which was
it blew up.
I think that happens a lot in the States, right?
It's wrong. And it's absolutely wrong. And there's no hope for a society if you're going to separate the children at school age and bring them up with their religious bigotry. Absolutely crazy.
Well, people will still be brought up with their religious ideologies, but they don't necessarily have bigotry. When did you turn into one of those atheists, Ken?
I've always been anti-fanatical against religions that have any degree of fanaticism. By that I mean the right-wing Christians and the Muslims extremists. You know,
okay,
it's not just the one. But what I don't understand is what kind of a pig-headed, stupid God would demand obedience from the people he's created. Like, you know, to show me respect, you must obey. Because that is the essence of Islam. It's obedience. And I don't get that. To me, obedience is the most dangerous philosophy or outlook on life possible. To pray five times a day, to wash your feet, to go through these rituals. And of course, Christians and Catholics have their own as well. But this one is enforced a little more strictly. Like, you're not allowed to leave it, number one. And that idea of praying five times a day in a certain direction to...
It's not my thing, but it's I as time has gone on, I have developed... I used to think that way. Then I reflected on it. Yeah, if it makes people happy, that's fine. I enjoy our dumb rituals.
Yeah. Well, I need enlightenment on that. I confess, because we
all have our own rituals, Ken.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think maybe I've been listening to a little bit too much Sam Harris, but there's a guy I have just so much respect for. And I don't ever listen to his podcast.
I don't listen to his podcast. I mean, I loved and respected, you know, Christopher Hitchens, but he doesn't always say his beliefs and mine didn't always align.
No.
That's okay. You can enjoy someone's writing without, unless that is what you think, in which case, you know, have the balls to say it. Well, then don't apologize.
Well, I'm not. I don't think I was. Did I? God, if I did,
sounded like you were apologizing.
I'm sorry. The last thing I want to do is backtrack on this. I want to move forward. So why are you so tolerant and patient? You said I used to be that way, but I'm not now. What happened? Oh, you had a relationship with an Islamic Muslim female?
No, I just I used to read a whole lot of atheism blogs, I guess, and there'd always be stories about shitty people doing shitty things that made me mad all the time, and I went and reflected on it. I'm like, I don't know, I have a bunch of friends that are and family that are very religious. They don't seem bad. That's not for me, but, you know, it's not... Not everything is extremist, you know. Most people are not extremists. We hear about the extremists because they're nuts, but, you know.
Okay, but do you think
most people are normal?
Do you think there's any hope for the future of humanity, for mankind, if mankind continues to adhere to different religions?
Different religions?
Do we not, in terms of our evolution, do we not have to get rid of God altogether? Do we not have to go there? Is it not a state that's necessary?
That might be a belief of mine, and I'm a Star Trek
fan. Why are you soft-pedaling this? Why don't you come out and say it?
Because I don't... Just because I think it doesn't mean that... Because I don't have the confidence to say that, well, that's how it should be and how everyone is going to grow up to be.
But
because
don't you think
who knows? Who fucking knows, Ken?
But don't
could
you
be all wrong.
Don't you think it's right? Don't you think it's absurd to believe in a God?
Yes.
God that has anything. So then why do you allow others who are shaping the future of mankind to in their ignorance?
Because you could be as atheist as possible and still think really stupid things about the world. So say that, you know, knowledge makes you better.
No. That's twisting it. Nobody was saying that. There's a lot of people.
Why? Because the implication in it is it's stupid to think this way. Therefore, the implication is those people are stupid. No. But then you think back that you have a bunch of friends that are religious, and then do you want to call them stupid?
No.
And then if they're different, then who's to say most people aren't different? The nuts that want to change our laws and and you know, affect people's daily lives based on their lunatic beliefs. I hate that. I'm down with getting rid of that, but to say abolish religion? No. Well,
I wasn't quite saying that. And I think what I was trying to do was sort of take a leap into the future and think about what is our destiny? What is the future of mankind? And I can't imagine an educated spread of humanity on this planet living in peace with different, with still holding on to these primitive beliefs. I just can't see it.
But we live in a culture where most people don't fight over religion. What are you talking about? We're in Canada.
Well, that's now. I'm trying to make a leap, Brent, 100 years from now, or 200, 300, 500. I'm trying to make a leap into the future and thinking, surely humanity will evolve to the point where we will not hold on to something that doesn't possibly make sense. Like people believing in a life after, well, let them have that one, but in a heaven, rejoining departed loved ones and so on. I want to get rid of all that.
Well, I would like those beliefs to not affect my government or my laws. Okay. But I don't think, I'm still not down with saying get rid of it all, because it's not for me. That's not to say it's not for anyone.
No, and I would be the last person to want to cheer on a leader of a country to say ban all religions. But I'd say keep them out of the workplace, keep them out of the schools, keep them out of the universities. I resent the fact that my Centennial College spent a great deal of money putting in special washrooms on the main floor of one of our buildings so that Muslim students only could go in and bathe their feet in comfort. It's a very high-tech, clean washroom system before they go in to pray in a room that was set aside for them to pray in. I think, why is that there? Who orchestrated that?
Well, if you have the resources to, and even the mandate to make those resources or make space available to people.
Doesn't everybody vote on the budget? Wait a minute. I taught in the shittiest, smallest classroom that barely fit in 20 people, as did other English teachers.
Would the cost of not putting in a foot bath have... Is that the reason why you didn't get a bigger class?
No, the fact that there is a room set aside for prayers. But clearly, it is not. It's only for people of a certain faith. It doesn't say that. But when you get in and you see there's a curtain separating the men from the women, and you see there's a place for your slippers, and you see mats spread out on the floor, you're not welcome to go in there, unless you're a Muslim. That exists in our building. And right across from that room, I noticed, came back, and gee, suddenly there's a brand new washroom. That's nice. Oh, what's this for? Oh, wow, this is better than the old foot washers they used to have. It's a whole new thing. There's a budget line. Somebody made the decision to do that. I wanted to know who made that decision. At what board meeting was that made? Where, yes, we will pass the rule that says we will bring in things so people won't have to lift their feet up to the sink to wash them before they pray. I don't think that belongs in a community college in Ontario.
I don't know. I'm very much a pro keeping religion out of schools, but I don't know if...
You don't have to argue with me, you know, you could have...
I know, I'm trying to express my own opinions here. We often don't have a gappage. but I don't have... But I don't have a particular problem with the making an accommodation for a foot bath.
Well, why? But no other religion got them. No, nobody else needs that.
Yeah, but do any of the other religions, the major religions of which they're, meaning there's a lot of people in school that follow them, do they have requirements where they have to do something like that?
Not that I know.
Several times a day? Right.
Everybody walks around with a turban and probably has their kapans and their hidden little daggers and things. Nobody says anything about that. That's fine.
Well, people used to say things about that. I remember when I was a kid hearing a bunch of those stories, but...
Yeah.
Are you mad that atheism doesn't have any things to let you get a special room?
No.
Because we can come up with some sort of ritual if you like.
No, I like the idea, and I see it in some departments or shopping malls. I've seen it in big commercial buildings where there's a room, or hospitals, a non-denominational room for prayer where anybody could go in just because they need some quiet time and need to pray. That makes sense. That's fine. I'm just saying this one just happens to be geared towards one people, one religion. Not the intention. I'm sure the trustees at the Centennial College will all argue, no, that's for everybody. But clearly it's not. Anyway, let's move on to something like politics.
Sure. What's going on in politics there, Chief?
Nothing in particular. We don't... No,
you said you wanted to talk about Me Too, and I don't know exactly what that means. Well, I don't know what that means, and I'm kind of worried on where this is going.
I'll tell you what happened, and it's you don't listen to my podcast, so I'll just give a very brief synopsis here. I got a little high Saturday night by myself.
I did see that description, and it did make me chuckle.
I did go a little bit over the line, and I had a little trouble sorting out messages and so on, and I listened to Jason Rees. And it just happened to be the episode where he gave a bit of a rant, which, for whatever reason, and it was because I was high, it just went right through me and in me and echoed inside me, and it just blew my mind. It was disturbing. He talked about the darkness, or I thought he did. Maybe I was wrong, but I was chilled by it. But one of the things he did mention was about this Me Too movement, and at the Globe Awards, where all
Golden
the women
Globes?
Golden Globes, sorry, where all the women were told to wear black, and his point, the way he said it was like, nobody would dare not wear, and it wasn't that it was a choice, it wasn't that this was necessarily even the best way to make that message across. But it was that you will obey. And the way he said it was just like people wearing black shirts or holding up a certain placard saying this, or all the people coming down on every Tim Hortons now, every Tim Hortons franchise owner, who may be some poor guy who's put his whole family's money into just trying to make a living on a franchise. They're not all rich. They're not all descendants of the original owners. And there's this the idea, the mindset, that things get better when everybody joins together and toes the line, obeys whatever the message out there is. And that is frightening. And I think that's what he was trying to get across. And I thought, wow, that's great. I never thought about that. I was one of those people who thought, oh, that's pretty neat. Everybody's wearing black. But when you don't really have a choice in the matter...
But... Everyone has a choice. No one was putting no one was forcing those people.
You can be pretty sure there was some heavy-handedness going around to agents, to talking, to people calling friends, and that if somebody had decided, no, I want to look pretty, I got this really nice new
Hollywood isn't real life. Hollywood isn't real life. That's
it's just an example, though. It doesn't matter. It's just one other example. I'm not saying it's a huge thing, but it's an example of people conforming to whatever is perceived to be the right thing to do. And the same way when this little girl gave her story, everybody jumped on. That's awful. Canadians don't do that. Boy, I hope they catch that guy. That's wicked. You know? That's what I'm getting at.
And all of this is the fault of political correctness, right?
Yes.
Is
that what... Yes, that people aren't thinking for themselves.
I don't really agree with you, Ken, but I really respect how you've tied it all together.
Again, I think maybe it's... How do you define political correctness, then? Maybe that's where our problem is.
It's speech and behavior that tries not to favor one group over the other. To try and, language or, microaggressions that don't aggress.
That sounds pretty wishy-washy.
Does it? All right. Well, what's your definition of political correctness?
I'm thinking of it as just people voicing opinions that aren't necessarily what they feel inside. And a perfect example is I'd just rather somebody express their ignorance and hate, like seeing somebody with a turban and saying, you fucking Muslims and your stupid religion. I would rather that. And then somebody can work with a guy and say, wait a minute now, that's a turban. He's actually a Sikh. It's a very different religion. And maybe educate that person, as opposed to somebody not there, maybe not knowing the difference between whether that's a Sikh or a Muslim or whatever, but not daring saying anything about it or anybody for fear of offending someone because they know that's not what you're supposed to do. The same issue is coming over this whole, the Me Too movement, in terms of, how are men supposed to react to women now? And suddenly there's a bit of a backlash and a little bit of nervousness about, wow, do I dare compliment somebody on what they're wearing or what's perceived as sexist and so on? And we're in a bit of a mess right now over this. And what it really needs is further discussion. People need to be talking about these things and exploring them openly and honestly, and not just saying, as so many of these weasels in the Toronto District School Board and other places do, this must be the right way because this is bound not to offend anybody. Therefore, this is what I'll have to put out there. As opposed to saying, well, maybe it is wrong to have the imam come into a junior public school in East York and separate the girls, especially the menstruating girls, or the girls from the boys, and deliver his sermon on Friday in the cafeteria at the school. Maybe that's not so good. Maybe we should talk about that. What do you people think? Instead of, oh no, this is what we're doing, it's because there's a lot of Muslims at this school and this is the best thing, and the imam has assured us that this is a safer option for them. That's an example. You still there? Oh no. Brent, maybe he just hung up on me. All right, well, I'm still recording, so I might, all right. I'll pause it and I'll call back and we'll start again. Hang on, eh? Brent, are you there? Oh, well, I'm just saying it's another area of confusion now that people will be very afraid to say the wrong thing or to act the wrong way and behavior. I mean, yeah. Men have behaved badly. It's been the history of it, and it must change. I think of greater concern to me. Well, I mean, rape is, there's no halfway. It's wrong. But beating your wife is wrong, no matter what culture you're from, or there is no excuse for that. But making, seeing a girl in a bar and saying, wow, nice ass. Oh, you better not say that. And it's probably not a good thing. Well, I did. In fact, it was at the only cafe, and there was a girl there, and I said, wow, that's a really nice ass. She said, thank you. And I said, do you mind if I touch it? She said, no, go ahead. And I did. And then Brian saw this, and Brian said, well, can I do that too? She said, sure. Now, that's probably not a good story to share here, but it was fun. Yeah, clearly. Yeah, exactly. I think I am. I think it is one of the few skills I have that serves me well. All I'm getting at there, it's a very complex issue. And again, it needs open, honest talk. And not just people sort of taking a position and saying, okay, this is it. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. Without really exploring it and thinking it through. And I think it's men and women who have to have that conversation. And it's not just, all men are aggressors and this will be, henceforth, this will be an end to any of that kind of behavior. That we've got to have some leeway. And it takes time for people to change. You look at Mad Men, we all think, what a great TV series. And yet we all realize now, oh my God, that behavior, how unacceptable that will be. And that's only, 50 years. It didn't... The story I read didn't sound like he was really being a dick. She was seeing a guy who she was so thrilled to go out because he seemed like such a nice guy and such a funny comedian when she got back to his apartment, he kind of wanted her to go down on him. And she got all, and she did. I know. Anyway, that's a bad example, because I guess what I'm getting at is the gray area where people just aren't so sure. And I think I'm not worried about it for myself. I'm past all that. But I do feel sorry for younger people in their 20s, you know, who are just trying to sort this stuff out and sort of saying, wow, what are these messages? I should feel bad for you. Can you just 1 second, Brent?
I owe you an apology. I clicked on the wrong connection setup, and so I had myself recorded, and up until 27 seconds ago, you weren't being recorded. So it wasn't very much. It was only about a minute since you've come back. We were talking about...
In about 6 minutes, yeah.
Well,
we were talking about the Me Too movement.
Well, we were talking about how difficult it was to get the signs right, and you were saying... I was saying, I'm past all that now anyway, and you were saying, yeah, but somebody like yourself, you're going through it still.
That's for me, it's been at times difficult for figuring out, you know, what is it okay to go. There's some survey I saw that said like a third of women surveyed in this millennial survey said that they thought offering to buy a girl a drink in a bar is you know, a microaggression, however they phrase it. I was like, wow, okay. I've always wondered that. That doesn't help me figure that out. But, you know, eventually you get to read people.
Yeah.
And figure out how to behave. And you met this girl at the Only, and, you know, she was at the Only. Maybe that was your first clue. Yeah. And you were like, is it okay to...
Well, I didn't even touch have to buy ass? Her a drink. Didn't even have to buy her a drink.
I know, it's the girl at the Only. I mean, yeah. You know.
Well, I wouldn't do that to all girls, only because I met others who were would be quite indignant and be very angry about the story I just related.
Yeah, you gotta, as I said, you're good at reading people.
The thing is, I can remember back when I was young, you know, high school, wanting to date girls or drooling over the hot ones and so on. And never being able to get a read, it seemed the girls then really wanted to go up the jocks, the good-looking guys, these sports heroes, you know, and you felt how you're never going to be adequate. You know, you're never going to be able to compare or compete with those guys. But your mind was filled with the misunderstandings. Oh, what do they really want? What is it a girl wants, you know? I was just reading Kerouac. It was actually interesting. It's a very raw book, Desolation Angels. And he was talking about how he just got back in New York from Mexico and saw this girl, and her softness just drove him wild. And he was staring into her eyes, and he knew he would be in bed with her that night. Like, he just knew he had to have her. He just couldn't. And he started describing the act of love and just, you know, lying across her and how soft and beautiful, but couldn't understand what would her attraction to him be. Like, what would a woman see in a man with our hard bodies and muscles and so on? Like, there was just no attraction to him. And it was kind of interesting because it does explore that whole issue that men and women do want different things, not just in the act of sex, but just in terms of attraction and so on.
Right.
And that's,
well, that's, I mean,
very tough to figure out.
Right, you know, when I was a kid or whatever in high school, I felt the same way that, you know, all the women went out with the so-called jocks. I was and remain a giant geek. So, you know, getting used to myself over time, it's, you know, you figure out what women could like in you.
Mm-hmm.
You figure that, but basically, it just comes down to confidence in yourself and
yes,
sort of a this I am this type, take me or leave me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You can't do that when you're really young, though. It takes a lot.
Of course not. No, it took me forever. I've only I'm still not there some days. So you know,
yeah. So, that's kind of a spin-off of this whole issue of the, you know, Me Too and
a mindset. These are the rules. This is not acceptable. This is acceptable. And I guess the only thing I wanted to say was that there's a lot of gray, and you really have to explore that gray. And there is no simple on off. Yes, no. I mean, violence is wrong. Rape is wrong. Using a position of power to get something out of somebody is wrong. Those are pretty easy. But there's other things in there, like that story with Aziz, you know? Here's a woman who's attracted to him because he's a good storyteller and a comedian, and wow, he's famous and rich. And she goes back to his apartment. What was she expecting?
Yeah, well, one can go to someone's apartment without having sex with them, but my issue with her in that story is... It sounds like they were having some sort of sexual activity, and he didn't force himself on her, and she eventually left, and then later, or the next day, expressed her discomfort with the evening, and then he apologized. And so I don't know how it turned into a news story.
The Woody Allen story is so much worse.
Oh, Woody Allen is a skeezbag. What did he do now?
How do you know that? How do you know it's true? His wife was crazy. How do you know the kids? She didn't put the kids up to all this. How do you know that he actually? On the interview she gave on television, he touched my labia when I was 7 years old. He told me to lie down. He did this thing. Holy shit! Oh, you know. Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that says, "Poor Woody. Poor if he did that because that's not a normal, healthy act." But also, my God, if that's not true, that's just a horrible accusation to make. But then the same for Michael Jackson. What were those stories? Did he really molest boys? Everybody's, Michael Jackson was a pervert and this and that. And immediately, public opinion sways this way or that way. But nobody knows the depths.
I think he probably was. I mean, he sounds like was a damaged individual anyway.
Yes.
But, you know, he could still have committed those crimes. But that said, I enjoyed listening to Dirty Diana this afternoon. I hadn't listened to that in a while.
Those crimes, and I guess that's another thing, those are cultural. Is there an age of consent? Yeah, there is. And was it violent? Is it in another culture, in Greek and Roman times, would that have even been an issue? No.
Maybe not. Who knows? But...
No? So there's a cultural relativity here that makes me nervous.
Of course, everything. There's no absolute morality. I thought you were an atheist. Cultural relativism is what we're all about.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Want to end on that note?
Yeah, I think that's a good note. Where
do we have anything we need to... say to our listeners?
I think it's open now. I was supposed to spread the word about this, and we may as well tell the 5 listeners that listen.
915.
Oh, okay. Well, there's awards.podcamptoronto.com. This year at PodCamp, we are having a contest, or not contest, but a competition for the best... podcast in Canada.
Just a competition for one? Are there categories?
There's categories. There's about 30 categories, so that's going to be online soon, so you can pick a bunch of, I think it's like 5 different shows in every category.
Are you doing some of the work for that?
I did some initial brainstorming with Picard 102 on it. And have been helping him test the website, but we got to get a move on that. So I will give people an early heads up, and I'll be twittering about it and trying to spread the word.
Well, I think the word has to go out that PodCamp Toronto is on, because that's not been really forthcoming either.
Right, and we're already into January, so we should tell people that. Let's see, is the website up? It was down when I looked the other day. Oh, it's up. It's February 23rd to 25th.
And it's a wonderful time. And if you're anywhere near Toronto for that weekend, the GTA, Hamilton's not a far run. It's a bash, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Apparently, yeah, the website's up, and you can apply to be a speaker. So I'm doing that right after this show.
Well, so that'll be up soon then. All right.
Well, yeah. Sure, well, there's sure podcamptoronto.com to check it out.
All right.
February 23rd to 25th. I'm sure there will be a great Saturday party.
John
and I will be reprising our lauded presentation from last year.
John Meadows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, where we talked about how to get into podcasting.
Good.
I'm going to have to think of maybe some other sessions to do.
Hope it's not the same time as mine.
Oh, yeah, right. I guess I got to go to yours.
Yeah, well, not really, but... Okay, so...
moral right. support.
That was episode 42 of Gappage. They are coming at you like bullets from a machine gun right now.
It's slow, the machine gun that fires every 2 weeks.
It's... One of the earlier ones, hand cranked.
Yeah, okay, that works, that works. Yeah. It's about as fast as a trebuchet. Actually, I wonder how long it took to reload those.
Okay.
All right.
Bye for now.
Bye.
You ready?
Sure.